He says, come, my people. He calls Israel my people. I mean, think what you like of Israel, but God still calls them his people. He says, come, my people, enter into your rooms. He says, I've got a room for you. It's not enter into the room. It's actually enter into your rooms. And I've got this room. I've got this place prepared for you. Come to me. I've got this place prepared for you. Enter into your rooms. Close your doors behind you. This is going to be sealed off. You are going to be protected. This is the faithful. This is Israel. These are the people who have come to know the Lord after the rapture. Because if they had known the Lord before the rapture, they wouldn't be here. So either they were born after the rapture, or after the rapture, they came to know the Lord. And he's now inviting them. This is Israel. He's inviting them, those who are faithful in Israel. Okay, we are in the end of Isaiah chapter 26. We've got two verses left in Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21, and then we'll get into verse 20, into chapter 27. And the last two verses of 26 should pretty much combine with chapter 27. You know, these chapter markings are not inspired. These were put in by human beings. And even not that long ago. So it probably would have been better had it been divided after verse 19. But so chapter 26, verse 20, 21, and then all of chapter 27 talk about Israel's refuge in the tribulation. So we had talked formerly about there was this speaking of the Gentiles, what would happen to the Gentiles in the tribulation. And we had two chapters that talked about songs of that would be given up, that would be offered up in that time period. And now we're going to be looking at this Israel's refuge. So let's read chapter 26 of Isaiah, verses 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. So He's encouraging them to come out. And what this is a call for Israel to go into hiding. Because remember, what's going to happen is there's going to be a tribulation period of 7 years, split into two, 3.5 years, and then another 3.5 years. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, there's going to be the abomination of desolations is going to occur. And we'll look at that a little bit more. And then just tremendous turmoil is going to come against the people of Israel. And the believers, the remnant of Israel, the believers among them, what's going to happen is that they are going to flee, and they're going to go to what was ancient day Basra and current day Petra. Petra is just across the Jordan River, and it's south of the Dead Sea, about 50 miles and about 60 miles north of the Gulf of Aqaba. So it's near Eilat, near that bottom tip of Israel.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together, and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
And if you can even just Google it, and what you would see is that you would see that this is a city that's built into the stones, built into there's this sandstone, and they actually built the city right into the stone. So their homes, they just dug into it is that area of the world that Israel in the time of tribulation is going to flee to. And then what'll happen is the Lord, when he returns, he will meet them in that city and then bring them back into Jerusalem. So all of this has been outlined for us. And Jesus spoke about this because he says, He says in verse 20, "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until the indignation has run its course." And so you see Jesus speaking about this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place." They're standing in the holy place. Let the reader understand. "Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." This was Jesus's warning to the people in Israel. He says to his disciples, he says, "When you see the abomination of desolations, which was spoken about in Daniel the prophet," Daniel had a lot to say about this. "When you see it," he said, "you flee to the mountains. Let those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains." And you can stand in Jerusalem and you can look and you will see southwest. You will see these high mountains. These are the mountains of Jordan. And you can see these mountains which are around the Dead Sea. You can see from Jerusalem. He says, "Go that way." He's warning them to go that way. And so let's look in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to read verse 1. "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." So it says that there was a woman clothed with the sun. It says the sun, the moon was under her feet, and it references 12 stars. Where have we seen before something where it talked about the sun, the moon, and 12 stars? Joseph's vision, right? Joseph's dream. So this is speaking about the Jewish people. Then let's go to verse 6, chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 6. "Then the woman fled to the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Remember that magic number, 1260. That is 3.5 years. Their years were 360 days. 3.5 years is 1,260 days. He says, flee there, they're going to be nourished. So when you see that occur in the middle of the tribulation, I want you believers, you remnant of Israel, you're going to go to Basra, current day Petra, you're going to go there and you're to flee there and I'll nourish you. I'll take care of you. I'll minister to you for 1,260 days. And so the Lord himself is going to make sure that they're taken care of in that desert region, which is current day southern Jordan. Then he goes on, let's read Revelation chapter 12, verse 13 onward. "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent." So you see this woman, which represents Israel, the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars, fleeing. And the Lord is going to nourish her for 1,260 days, a time, year, times, 2 years, and half a time, half a year. Remember the time, times, and half a time. So we see this same pattern repeated. And they're to flee from the presence of the serpent. "And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the water which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." So this is what it says, and it's talking about this future, this what's going to happen. Isaiah saw it. Isaiah was projected out into the future, and he saw something which is beyond our time. He's talking about what's going to happen in the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The book of Revelation is talking about this. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 9. So Daniel was prophesying this as well. Remember, Daniel came after Isaiah, somewhere maybe Daniel is prophesying this like 150 years after Isaiah. And Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offering, and the wing of abomination will come, who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So he says that he's going to make a covenant. There's going to be a covenant between Israel and the Antichrist. For how long? Here it says, for 1 week and in the middle of the week. A week is 7 days. That's representative of the 7 years. Very often they will use this descriptor of week, meaning a seven-year period. In the middle of that week, at three and a half years into this, he's going to put a stop to the sacrifice. So this is the third temple. The third temple has yet to be built. We have the first temple, which was the temple that was built by Solomon. We have the second temple, which was built when they came back from the diaspora in Babylon. They came back, they built the second, they started building that temple, and that temple actually was undertaken further by King Herod, where he built that out, and then 70 AD, that second temple was destroyed. He's talking about the third temple now. They will get, the sacrifice will begin. After 3.5 years, there's going to be the abomination of desolation. So if we look in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. Something is going to happen at 3.5 years. There's going to be the end of the sacrifice, because there's going to be this falling out between Israel and the Antichrist. In 167 BC, 167 BC, there was a person named Antiochus IV, Epiphanes. And what he did is he offered up a pig on the altar. So he did this abomination of desolation. So that was a type of what is going to happen in the last period. That was 167 BC. In about 30 or 35 AD, Jesus is prophesying something forward. He's looking forward to something. And that's when he said, when you see this abomination of desolation, when you see this thing happening. So that was just a type in 167 BC. Jesus is projecting out. He says something is going to happen. That's what he was talking about. Now let's look in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. I mean, the scriptures are so beautiful. God is tying so much together here. We see something that's being prophesied by Isaiah in 750 BC, something that's being prophesied by Daniel in 600 BC. We see something that's being prophesied by Jesus in the first century AD. And then we see the book of Revelation speaking about it, something that is going to occur as well. So in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, it says, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. So there's the 1260 plus another 30 days. Last time we saw the extra 45 days, and that was the 75-day period. The 30 plus the 45 days was the 75-day period where the Lord will prepare the earth for the millennial reign. Then if you look again in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had prophesied again about this. And then you see another prophecy about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, no one in any way deceive you. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So Paul, in about 50 AD, is prophesying about this period. Paul is telling us some of the things that are going to happen in that period of time, some of the things that were destined to occur. Again, let's look now at Revelation chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. It says, "And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as did not worship the image of the beast to be killed.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it. You can go to jesusandscience.org. Thank you so much.
So the Antichrist is going to be raised up, and those who do not worship him will be killed. But remember, that's why Jesus warned them, you guys go flee. You go flee to Perea. I'm going to protect you in that time. Just like it says that he protected that woman, and it, where it spoke of being Israel, he protected her. This is the protection that's going to come. Now let's look back at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. "Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course." So he starts this out. He says, come. This is an invitation. I know the NIV says go, but it's really come. And if you look in the Young's literal, it is come. If you look in the King James, it is come. It is welcoming. So in other words, Jesus is there. He's saying, come. Go is you're sending somebody away. Come is like, I'm here, you come to me. He's inviting them to come to him. It's this tremendous sense of invitation. He says, come, my people. He calls Israel my people. I mean, think what you like of Israel, but God still calls them his people. He says, come, my people. Enter into your rooms. He says, I've got a room for you. It's not enter into the room. It's actually enter into your rooms. And I've got this room. I've got this place prepared for you. Come to me. I've got this place prepared for you. Enter into your rooms. Close your doors behind you. This is going to be sealed off. You are going to be protected. This is the faithful. This is Israel. These are the people who have come to know the Lord after the rapture. Because if they had known the Lord before the rapture, they wouldn't be here. So either they were born after the rapture, or after the rapture, they came to know the Lord. And he's now inviting them. This is Israel. He's inviting them, those who are faithful in Israel. He's inviting them, and he says, come, and you close your door. He says, hide for a little while. It's 3.5 years. He says, hide here. You guys just stay here until indignation has run its course. You see this enormous protection of the Lord. The Lord has this amazing protection over us. It really is an amazing protection he has. Remember when the angel of death came over Egypt, and the firstborn in Egypt, every family, the firstborn child died in Egypt. It says, but in the land of Goshen, where Israel was within Egypt, it's not even a dog barked. I mean, just tremendous protection. God has it. You know, a lady wrote to me this week, and she came to know the Lord about a year ago. And so she was writing to me and to also the person, Miss Louise, who had discipled her, and just thanking us for having shared the gospel with her. And she just seemed to be struggling with sadness or depression or things. I wrote back to her. I said, if you could see yourself like God sees you, I mean, sometimes we just come in ourselves, and we think we're no good. We think we're this. If God if we could just see ourselves like Jesus sees us, I mean, the love that he has for us. Have you ever seen a child that just a wonderful child, but they're struggling with anxiety or something or another, and you look at them and you say, you have no reason to struggle. I mean, you're a healthy young child, you have no reason to struggle like this. And the pain that a parent can feel, for example, toward a child who's struggling, and you look at them, there's really no reason. And this is the way God looks at us. He says, you just come. He says, I have a tremendous place for you if you would only realize how much I've done and prepared for you. And this is what he's doing. He says, you come here and you'll be secure. Then he says in verse 21, he says, for behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. He says that he's going to come out and he's going to punish the earth now. He punishes the earth through the Antichrist, is going to punish the earth. And he says, I've taken the believers, I've taken my loved ones, and I've hidden them away. And now there's going to be great, great suffering upon the earth. And that's what he's talking about, this suffering that was going to be coming upon the earth for their iniquity. And he says, and the Lord is going to allow this. And we saw, even if they don't worship this image, boom, they're killed. I mean, everybody's going to have to worship this image that's prepared by the Antichrist. He says here, I'm going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed. Through all of this, their sin, their bloodshed is going to be revealed. He says they're not even going to cover their slain. There's going to be so many dead people, they're not even going to bury them anymore. I mean, you just can't keep up. You just can't keep up. I mean, you read about battles and different wars that took place. I mean, they just gave up. They didn't even bury the dead. They couldn't keep up with it. And that's what it's going to be like. And now this same pattern persists through chapter 27, where it's talking about this latter half of the tribulation period. Chapter 27 of Isaiah, reading from verse 1. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. In that day, a vineyard of wine will sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it every moment so that no one will damage it. I guard it night and day. I have no wrath. Should someone give me briars and thorns in battle, then I would step on them. I would burn them completely, or let him rely on my protection. Let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me. In the days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will blossom and sprout, and they will fill the whole world with fruit. So you see, he's talking about what's going to happen here, and what he starts out with. In chapter 27, he starts out with the judgment that is going to take place upon Leviathan. And so you see this survey of what's going to happen before the messianic reign. He starts it out, verse 27, in that day. Remember, what does in that day mean? In that day means he's speaking of the prophetic future. In that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan. That is the devil. That is the serpent of old. We just read about this in the book of Revelation, that serpent of old. He's going to punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. Remember what he's going to do with that dragon, what he's going to do with it. He is going to lock up that dragon. And so that is written about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the keys of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss, and he shut it and sealed it over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So remember what he's going to do with the devil. Before he starts reigning here on this earth, he's going to take the devil, he's going to chain him, and he's going to throw him in the abyss. Where is the abyss? Remember, that is the bad section of Sheol. That was the bad section of Sheol. There was an area of that called the abyss. He is going to be locked up there for 1,000 years. Again, it's telling us in the book of Revelation, you see how the word of God just fits together. This is not a bunch of disparate nonsense. It totally fitting together. And you know, if you think it's disparate nonsense, you just don't know. You just don't know. You've never studied this. This just fits together. And he says he's going to be there for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, the devil will be released, and he will again come and start afflicting the earth. And you say, well, why would Jesus allow that? Because remember this feeling that people have. You know, if Jesus just appeared to me, you know, I would be good to go. I'd seek him. If God just appeared to me, I'd be set. It's not true. You're lying. You don't know yourself. You're so filled with sin. We are so filled with sin. Just an appearance of the Lord. We are going to have Jesus living on earth for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years period, there's going to be some very devoted people that are in Jerusalem following his ways. But there's going to be another group of people who are not devoted to him at all. And even during that 1,000 years reign, they are going to be rebelling against him. Jesus will be here on earth physically, and mankind will be rebelling against him. And you say, how can that happen? Well, if you don't repent, you too will be rebelling against him in that period if you're alive. That's because it would be shown sin is utterly sinful. And God came in the flesh once before with Jesus. How many people came against him? Most people actually came against him, even though he was dwelling right here on earth. So we see that these things are going to happen. This is what the things that are going to happen. And he's describing here in 27 verse 1, what he's going to do to the devil. Now, verse 2 of chapter 27 of Isaiah, he says, he starts it again, in that day, again, prophetic future, in that day, a vineyard of wine, sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. You know, previously in Isaiah chapter 5, we read previously about another vineyard. And God had planted that vineyard to bear good fruit, and it didn't plant good fruit. It only grew wild grapes. And he came against it, and there was punishment because Israel was not seeking the Lord. The vineyard that he had prepared and done everything for it to grow and grow well was not growing well. And he came against it because it had rebelled. Now it's a different vineyard. This is the vineyard he's talking about. This is the 3.5 year period in Petra. And now he's just calling it my vineyard. And look at the fellowship. He says, a vineyard of wine, sing of it. He says, you sing of this. There's going to be a vineyard of wine. He says, I, the Lord, am its keeper. So he hasn't sent an angel to take care of them. The Lord himself, the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself will care for them in that period. Jesus Christ himself will care for them in that period. It's really, really amazing how the Lord is going to do this. Jesus Christ himself will care for them. And he says, so look in the beginning of verse 3. It's I, the Lord, I, saying, I'm going to do this. Now look at the next line in verse 3. I water it every moment. I. This is the Lord himself is going to water them. The Lord himself is doing this. I water it every moment. I'm telling you, there is a depth of relationship that we can have with Jesus if we would just allow him. Just allow him to minister to us. The Lord is there continually for us if we would yield to him. He is not far off anymore. He's not far off from us. We can have very close fellowship with God. And this is a fellowship and a relationship that is developed over years and developed over decades. This is what it's done. It develops with time. This is why I urge you every morning, spend time with the Lord. Every morning, get in His Word. Develop this relationship. He says, I water it every moment. I am there to water it. You see this great fellowship of the Lord. He says, so that no one will damage it. I am going to protect. He says, no one's going to damage it. He says, I guard it night and day. Night and day, the Messiah, Jesus, stands there guarding these people. I mean, you look at this great fellowship he's having. This is like no other time in Israel that he's speaking like this. He says, verse 4, I have no wrath. There's no wrath. This is actually what it is between Jesus and his children today. There's no wrath of him toward us. None. No wrath of him toward us. It is pure kindness. He says, I have no wrath. Should someone give me briars and thorns in battle, then I would step on them and I would burn them completely. He says, if someone tries to hurt these people, he says, you know, if they're going to try to do something, I'm going to step on it and I'll burn them completely. He says, enemies of these people, I will burn completely. And then he says, verse 5, or let him rely on my protection. Let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me. Twice he repeats it. If people want to come against, he says, why don't you make peace with me? I'm not going to let anybody afflict these people. Let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me. Make peace with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, I urge you this day, make peace with him. Make peace with him. Make peace with him. He says, let him make peace with me. In verse 6, in the days to come, Jacob will take root, Israel will blossom and sprout, and they will fill the whole world with fruit. It's unlike the vineyard that we had read about in Isaiah chapter 5, where there was judgment for their wildness, for their inability to follow his ways. He says, they are going to take root. This Jacob will take root. And remember, it's out of these that 144,000 witnesses are going to go out and evangelize the world. Israel will blossom and sprout, and they will fill the whole world with fruit. They will fill the whole world. They will go out and they will start evangelizing. There's going to be 144,000 Jews that God is going to call out from these people that were never came during the rapture, that later come, and he's going to send them out and they're going to fill the whole world with fruit. My experience is you can't bear fruit unless you're taught how to bear fruit. We're not born knowing how to bear fruit. We bear fruit in service to him, and the more you serve him, the more opportunity you have to bear fruit. I urge you, if you know the Lord, follow him. Get involved in some ministry. If you're not involved in a ministry, it's just a shame that you're not there bearing fruit for him. Have some ministry where you go out purposefully. Just being nice to your neighbor is not a ministry. This is something that's expected of you all the time, but have something that really calls upon you to stretch yourself to go further than you're comfortable with. Going further than you're comfortable with. Allow him to do this. You're taught for this. He says, I'm going to send you out throughout the world to bear fruit. This is what he calls us to. If you don't know the Lord, Jesus says, come, let him make peace with me. Let him make peace with me. Come and see me, and I will share with you how it is that how you can have a relationship with God. Make peace with him this day. If you know him, I urge you to get involved in some ministry. There's so many different things you can be involved with in this church. If you say, well, you're just too busy, you got a problem. Learn how to serve the Lord, have some sort of ministry, and God will bless your time and magnify it and make you even more fruitful. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, for your protection, for your love, for your mercies, for the way you surround with love, for you say, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Learn from me how you tell us to come to you. You tell us that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. You tell us that that we can have this depth of relationship with Jesus. Father, I pray for these young people that they would learn to grow in Jesus, that daily they would develop this relationship with you, that they would see what it is like to have God of heaven and earth intercede in their lives. Father, do this, I pray, because many of them will go through difficult times in life. So many things come at us in life. And Lord, with you, it takes on a whole new meaning and a whole new perspective. Father, I pray that they would know you and that they'd be able to grow in you. The grace of God surround them, I pray, for the glory of Jesus. And Father, save a soul today, I pray. I pray, Lord, that with my own eyes, I would see a soul get saved today for your glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom. And I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.